We began this evening with the singing of number 260, I Am the Vine. And those that were here last night know that that was by purpose, that was on purpose. I requested Tracy and Jeff to lead that song throughout this week because we're using the analogy of the vine and the branches as seen in John the 15th chapter as the basis for our lessons. And the theme is the five secrets of living that Jesus presents for us in that particular section of Scripture, verses 1 through 17 of John chapter 15. And so we're singing the song every night because it is based on the words of this chapter. And in a moment, we'll read that section of Scripture as well. But we began looking at these five secrets last night. Last night, we focused our attention on the five secrets of living. So what was the secret of living? Well, if you were here last night, you know that the secret of living is fruit bearing. If we're going to have the abundant life that the Lord wants us to have, then we're going to have to make sure that we are fruit bearing branches in the vine of Jesus Christ. That's what Jesus talks about there in John chapter 15 in the first 17 verses. And talks about being fruit bearers for Him. But we didn't talk last night about what is the secret of fruit bearing. We have to be fruit bearers in order to have the life He wants us to have. But what is the secret of fruit bearing? What can we do to ensure that we bear the fruit God wants us to experience so that we can live the life He wants us to live? It's important for us to learn this particular secret so that when life is over, we can look back and know that we have accomplished the Lord's design for us in our life. So we want to focus our attention again on John chapter 15. And again, we want to read those verses before we go any further. And so we have it here on the screen. It's the American Standard Version here. You may want to read from your own, though, if you choose prefer something different. Jesus says, I am the true vine, and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. Already ye are clean because of the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit, for apart from me, ye can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, and so shall ye be my disciples. Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be made full. This is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Ye are my friends, if ye do the things which I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant knoweth not what his Lord doeth. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father I have made known unto you. Ye did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you, that ye should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide. That whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. These things I command you, that ye may love one another. And so this beautiful passage of Jesus, where he talks about being the vine, he is the true vine, his Father is the husbandman, and we are the branches in this true vine. And let's just bring up a picture of a vine. And let's just use this as an aid for just a moment. You know, if we were to take one of the branches that you can see there that break off of the vine, and you were to break one of those branches off, we know what would happen. And in fact, even our kids would know what would happen if you break a branch off. It's going to die. Is it ever going to be able to produce fruit again? No. It'll never be able to produce fruit again if it is broken off from the vine. Why? Because it has lost its connection to the vine. It's lost its association with the vine, which is the life, which is the source of life. And so that leads us to the secret that we're talking about tonight, the secret of fruit bearing. And the secret of fruit bearing, as seen in the passage we've just read, is abiding. If we want to make sure that we are bearing fruit for Jesus, we've got to be making sure that we're abiding in the vine, Jesus Christ. We must abide there. And if I can if I can abide there, then I can bear the fruit that I should bear, and I'll be able to have the life that He wants me to have. Now let's go back as we did even last night, and notice the two primary verses that we want to call attention to. First, in verse 4, again, He said, "Abide in Me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, so neither can ye except ye abide in Me." And then in verse 7, "If ye abide in Me, and My words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And so we need to make sure that we are abiding in the vine so that we can live that life that He wants us to live. Without abiding in the vine and bearing the fruit, we can't have the life that He wants us to have. We can't live, not really. Or we can have an existence, but we'll not be able to have the kind of life that He wants us to have, the kind of life that we can look on when this life is over and realize that we indeed accomplished what our Lord wants us to accomplish, that we became what He wanted us to be. We've got to abide in Him. The word abide is used a lot in this section of Scripture. I don't know if you were noticing that as we were reading it a few moments ago, but it's used 11 different times in verses 1 through 17. And notice 10 of those 11 times are found in verses 4 through, verse 10. Through 4 through 10. 10 of the 11 times that it is used, it is found there. And so what I want you to understand is that this concept of abiding in the vine, it's not just a passing thought of our Lord in this text. It's not just a passing thought that He interjects in the middle of something else. This is an important point that He's making. This is a major theme that He's trying to drive home to His disciples that we are even to be. And so we need to make sure that we look at this and understand what Jesus is talking about. He tells these disciples that abiding is important, because if we don't abide, we can't bear fruit. And if we don't bear fruit, then we cannot have abundant life. What does it mean to abide? What does it mean to abide? Now here's another picture of a vine and some branches. And those branches, they look quite natural to be associated with the vine, don't they? They look like they're quite comfortable to be there. They're quite content to be there. And in fact, the word abiding itself carries with it the idea of serenity and contentment to be in that situation. And I think we can understand that. Let me show you two pictures. You tell me which one is abiding. Is this one that is abiding, or is this one? I mean, obviously, in the first picture, we have a child who's satisfied to be in his mother's arms. He is abiding there. He's content. Whereas in the second case, they're not content to be in that situation. They're not abiding in the lap of Santa Claus. They don't want to be there at all. And so we can see really the idea of abiding, just in that sort of a concept. So those branches, they abide in the vine. No vine grower has to go out every day and reattach those branches to the vine. They don't head out in the morning with a roll of duct tape to reattach those branches that chose to drop off the vine overnight. He doesn't come in the evening and tell his wife, you know, I didn't get out there early enough today. Another 40 branches just dropped off the vine. It doesn't happen that way. The branches are content to be there. It's the natural situation is for them to be abiding in the vine. There's no struggle. There's no problems at all with them abiding in the vine. No artificial maintenance is needed. What would be unnatural would be if the branches fell off the vine. It's natural for them to abide there. Now, is that true of us? Do we really abide in the vine, Jesus Christ? Do we abide in Jesus? Are we content to be there in an intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ? If your relationship with Christ is dependent upon a fear that someone else is going to get onto you if you don't attend the church services, that you're going to be reprimanded by someone else because of what they see you doing, then you're not abiding in Christ. You're doing what you're doing out of fear of what someone else is going to say. If the only reason you're here tonight is because you're afraid someone was going to call you and badger you for not having been here, you're not abiding. Branches abide in the vine because they realize that's the best situation for them. Because it's there in that intimate relationship with the vine that the branch receives the strength necessary to bear the fruit. And so it is with us as well. Do we abide in the family of God? Do we abide in the Word of God? Are we content to be there? We've got to understand that to bear fruit, we must maintain an unbroken connection, a constant active relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ, to be able to have the strength that we need to bear the fruit so we can live the life, that abundant life that He wants us to have. Do you know only what you have to know about the Bible in order to, you know, be prepared to answer the questions during Bible class? Do you only read your Bible enough so that at the end of the year you can say that you read through the Bible that year? Or are you one who abides in the Word of God? That you look at that picture, the vine and the branches. And again, the branches are so content to abide there. How does one become a branch in the vine of Christ? Well, through our obedience to the gospel of Christ. When we're baptized for the remission of our sins, we're grafted in. That's when we put on Christ. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 27, Paul said, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ." And so that's how we're grafted in, but that doesn't mean that we can't sever ourselves from the vine, because we can. We're going to have to make a concerted effort to make sure that we maintain a relationship with the vine, Jesus Christ. And really, you know, the analogy between the vine and the branches and between our relationship with Christ sort of breaks down here, because those branches, they don't have to get up in the morning and say to themselves, "I'm going to have to really put forth the effort today to maintain my relationship to the vine." But we do. We have to make that determined effort that we're going to maintain an intimate relationship with our Lord each day that we live. That's our goal, to live each day as a branch in the vine of Jesus Christ. Are you content to dwell in Jesus? I want us to consider that there are four things that are necessary, some attitudes, some activities that are necessary if we're going to be abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. First of all, we've got to know the Word. We must know the Word of our Lord. There in John chapter 15 and verse 7. John 15 and verse 7 again. He says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will and it shall be done unto you." And likewise down in verse 10 he had said, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." I think a lot of religious people, a lot of our religious friends have missed the point about Jesus. They have the idea that abiding in Jesus means conjuring up an image of Jesus in their mind, thinking about him a lot, imagining what he might have been like, imagining him and how he might feel about us, thinking about what a wonderful character that he was, and to just dwell on that image that they've conjured up in their mind. And they divorce themselves, they divorce Jesus in their own mind from the things that Jesus said. And therefore they look for a relationship with him without really giving careful attention to the things that he spoke. But that's not what Jesus says here. He says that there's only one way that we can really abide in him, and that is to hear his words and obey them. There's only one way really that I can know Jesus, and that's through the word. In fact, everything I know about Jesus, I know from what's found in the word of God, from the revealed will of our Lord. That's the only way we can come to know him and to know the things that he would want us to know and to do. But in these verses again, he said, "My words abide in you." For the words of Jesus to abide in us, we have to be able to recognize his voice. I'm thinking about in John chapter 10, where Jesus uses the illustration of a shepherd over the sheep. In John chapter 10 and in verse 4, he says that the sheep know my voice. They don't just know a shepherd's voice. Jesus said they know his voice. And indeed, sheep will know their shepherd. There might be a dozen shepherds there calling for the sheep, but they'll only answer the one that they know. And we need to know our Lord. We need to know our shepherd, Jesus Christ, and to know him intimately. How would you know the voice of Jesus? How can we know what he's like? How can we know what he demands of us? How can we know his character and his nature? There's only one way, and that's through his word. We've got to constantly remember what Jesus said and meditate on those things and allow them to powerfully dwell within us. And thus, if I'm going to abide in Jesus, if I'm going to be a branch grafted into the vine and abide there, then the first thing I've got to do is to become familiar with his words, to become familiar with the things that he had to say. Are you going to abide or only be there temporarily and then fall off the vine because of not putting forth the effort to maintain that intimate relationship with him? If we abide in him, we've got to know his teachings. But something else that's involved, and that's the avenue of prayer. Prayer is essential as well to our abiding in the vine. Think of the connection of chapter 15 and verse 7. Between abiding in him and prayer. Verse 7 again says, "If ye abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you." And so abiding in his word and prayer go hand in hand in this passage. Knowing God is going to necessarily mean that we're going to be more effective in prayer. The more we know, the more we'll know what to pray. There's a lot of things that you might come and ask for from me that I would readily give because I don't need them. I recognize your need for them. You wouldn't ask me for them if you didn't really need them. There may be other times, though, when you might ask me for some things that I might not be able to offer them to you because I don't have them or they're more precious to me, or I don't feel like you really need them. You know, there might be any number of reasons. But if you know me, if you really know me, you'll know what to ask. All of us as parents, all of us who are parents, I think we probably all experienced that with our own kids, didn't we? Our kids grew up knowing what they could and couldn't ask. My kids learned early on not to ask me to have a cat, because I'm allergic to cats. And they knew not to ask me for a dog in the house, because I'm just not an indoor pet kind of person. Sorry. My in-laws love dogs. Anyway, they know. It's just not me. But my kids learned that. They know me, and thus they knew what things that they could ask of me and that they could expect that I would be offering back to them. They knew that some things I might give to them, and on other occasions, because of the wise father that I am, I might say no. The more we know our Lord, the more we'll know what we can ask. The more intimately that we are associated with Him, the more we'll be able to understand John 15 and verse 7 literally, when He says, "Ask whatsoever ye will, and it shall be done unto you." We'll be able to take that literally because we're going to be asking those things we know that are pleasing to Him and that He's willing to give. Prayer is an important part of abiding with God, talking with Him, knowing Him better, dealing with Him on a daily basis. And when you think about that branch in the vine, isn't that what the branch is doing with the vine? Talking with the vine, communicating with the vine, exchanging all that the vine has to offer for its benefit? And that's what we need to be doing as well. We need to be praying to God, communicating to God, and allowing Him to communicate to us in return through His Word. We need to recognize the importance of the avenue of prayer. But something else that's going to be necessary, and that is we've got to make a confession of sins that we might have committed. We must confess our sins to Him because sin breaks our relationship with God. Remember back in the Old Testament book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59 in the first couple of verses, Isaiah spoke about the effect of sin on us. He said, "Behold, Jehovah's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, neither His ear heavy that it cannot hear, but your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you so that He will not hear." What happens when I sin? I become separated from God. It separates me from God. And so we're going to have to confess those sins. We're going to have to be willing to confess them. Over in 1 John chapter 1, you remember in 1 John chapter 1 and in verse 9, John made comment there about this idea of confession. He says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." When I sin, I become severed from God. When I confess my sins, I can be back in fellowship with God. When I sin as a branch in the vine of Christ, I'm cut off from the vine. When I confess my sins, I'm grafted back in, if you will. I want to maintain my association with the vine. I want to abide there. So I need to be constantly examining myself to see if I have sinned, to see if I've erred in some way, so that I can confess those sins and be put back into fellowship with our Lord again, so that I can continue to have what I need to be the fruitful branch He wants me to be, to have that abundant life He wants me to have. But in a sense, we've already mentioned this last one, and that is the idea of obedience to Him. We've sort of mentioned that when we talked about knowing the Word, but we found it here in verse 10 of John chapter 15. He said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love." We've got to have the desire to do the will of the vine. A branch that doesn't do the will of the vine is an unfruitful branch. And Jesus in this passage rather talks about what is to be done with unfruitful branches. They're to be cut off and gathered and burned. And so we need to obey His will. You know, the branches on those vines, they don't get up and, I think this is what I'm going to do today. And of course, that's different from the vine. No. They're abiding in the vine, and therefore they are humbly submitting to the will of the vine and conducting itself according to the vine's will. And that's what Jesus wants us to do. Not our will, but His will be done, just as His attitude when He was on the cross. So we need to abide in Christ and these things are necessary to do that. But now, how can we know if we are? Are you abiding in Christ? How can you know? Well, I want us to consider some ways in which we can tell if we are in fact abiding in Christ. And again, these are important for us to know whether we are where we need to be, so that we can know if we're going to be able to live that abundant life He wants us to live. The first indicator of whether or not we are abiding in Christ that I want us to look at is simply fruit inspection. The very quick and simple question that we ought to think about first and foremost is, am I, as a branch in the vine of Christ, am I producing fruit? And we talked about those fruits in our lesson last night. We talked about being a fruit bearer last night. But we need to ask, are we bearing fruit? If it's bearing fruit, if our bearing fruit is there, then we're abiding. But if we're not bearing fruit, then we're obviously not abiding in the vine of Christ. I mean, it's very simple. Here in John chapter 15 again, and in verse 5, He said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. And so we can tell if we're abiding by whether or not we're bearing the fruit He wants us to be bearing. What does He say happens in the next verse if we're not? If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. So if we don't bear fruit, we obviously don't abide in the vine, and we're worthless. And so we're gathered and burned, He said. So are you bearing fruit for the vine, Jesus Christ? Are you bearing the fruit that He wants you to bear? And again, we talked about those at length in our time last night. But something else. If you're abiding in the vine, then you're also going to be pruned. Now, I didn't say you're going to be a prune, but you're going to be pruned. You're going to experience some pruning that takes place. In verse 2, He had said that. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, He taketh it away. And every branch that beareth fruit, He cleanseth it, that it may bear more fruit. He cleanses it, or He prunes it, so it can bear even more fruit. And we recognize that that's what happens. In fact, we've got a picture here. Here's some grapevines, at the end of the season. All the foliage is gone, all the leaves and all of that is gone, and now it's just the vine and all these long branches. But they've got to trim them back. They've got to do some pruning so that those branches can produce fruit again. And so they trim them back, and to where there's very little left. You see the vine and you see very small stubs on those branches. That's a lot of whacking. That's a lot of cutting back. But that's what's necessary for those branches to be able to be fruitful in the future. Now, if those branches could talk, I doubt any of them would say they enjoy that. I doubt any of them would say they enjoy having most of themselves just chopped off. But that's what the branch has to undergo in order to be able to produce more fruit. You and I have to undergo some pruning. Obviously, if there's something sinful going on in our life, that's got to be cut out. We've got to do some pruning. But I'm not even talking about necessarily that kind of thing. We've got to be willing to prune from our life anything that might be hurting us or holding us back in being a fruitful branch. We've got to be willing to do whatever pruning is essential in order to accomplish the goal of abiding in the vine and bearing the fruit that He wants us to bear. There's always foliage. There's always leaves. And sometimes there are too many leaves. And they just simply need to be cut back. And that may be the case for us as well. You know, leaves are good. Foliage isn't bad. No one would tell you to go out and to just strip all the leaves off of a vine, off of a plant. They wouldn't tell you to do that. But it is possible if there's too much, it's taking away from the ability of the plant to produce the fruit it's designed to produce. And so you might trim back some leaves. They're good things, even in our life, that we may need to be willing to prune. Things that are not evil in and of themselves, but things that take away from those things that we ought to be doing. Really, if you stop and think about it, the choices that we have to make as God's children isn't between those things that are good and those things that are evil. That's not really what we face every day. Really, the decisions we face every day have to do with doing those things that are good and those things that are better. Those things that are good and nothing wrong with them in and of themselves, except that they hold us back from doing those things that are the better things that God would have us to be doing. Some years ago, my dad gave me this little sentence sermon. And it's always stuck with me. It's hanging in my cubicle at work. The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing. And I always liked that. The main thing in life is to keep the main thing the main thing. The only question is, what's the main thing? The main thing is to keep the most important thing first and foremost in our minds, in our hearts. And sometimes Satan is able to win victories over us, not by convincing us to do wrong, by convincing us to do things that are evil in the sight of God, but by convincing us to do good things rather than doing the best things. And so we neglect things that we ought to be paying attention to in our life. Satan has shown himself to be very crafty and able to do those kind of things. Something else we want to look at, and that is, we're going to have a growing dependency on Christ if we're abiding in Him. There again in John chapter 15 and verse 5, He again said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same beareth much fruit. For apart from me, ye can do nothing. That means dependence. Dependence on Jesus. A constant sense of being in need of our Lord as we exist in His vineyard. Consider the fascinating contrast between our raising our kids and our relationship as children of God. As we raise our kids, they start out with no abilities for themselves. We have to do everything for them. And little by little, they begin to do more and more on their own, and they reach the point where they're able to do more and more. They become more and more independent. They're able to, pick out their own clothes, but eventually they're able to learn how to tie their shoes, and they don't want you to touch it. They want to do it. They want to pick out their outfit for the day. They want to be able to, the food that they eat. They don't know what's best for them to eat. But as they grow older and older, they want to make their own choices, and they'll make their demands about what they particularly want to eat. More and more independent as they grow older and older, till finally they go off on their own. They don't need us, it seems like, anymore at all, because they are fully independent at that point. But it's just the opposite with children of God. God's children start out being independent. But the more that we live in Christ, the older that we grow in Christ Jesus, the more dependent we should grow on our Lord. Think about that branch in the vine that we had up here earlier. You know, at first that branch is fragile and you could easily break it off. But as it grows older and older, it becomes stronger and far less likely to turn loose of that vine. Because it's increasingly dependent on the vine. And that's the way it's to be with us as well. We're to be increasingly dependent on our Lord. The older we get in Christ, the more we should be depending on Him. The more we should be looking to Him for all our strength, for all that we seek to do. For apart from me, He said, ye can do nothing. One other point we'll make here, and that is that we'll love Christ and His people. We'll love Christ and His people. Again, here in John 15, in verse 9, He said, even as the Father hath loved you, I also have loved... Even as the Father hath loved me, I also have loved you. Abide ye in my love. And then in verse 12, this is my commandment, that ye love one another, even as I have loved you. And so we're to love our Lord, we're to love the vine, and we're to love one another. We're to love other branches. Love here is simply treating people the way Christ treats us. Got some other passages there that 1 Peter 4 and verse 8, where Peter said, "Above all things, being fervent in your love among yourselves, for love covereth a multitude of sins." We're to love one another. Cover those sins. John 15 and verse 13. "Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends." That's what Jesus did. And we're to love one another in the same way. Ephesians 4 and verse 15 says, "Speaking truth in love." We're to love one another enough to confront with God's word when we see that a brother or sister in Christ is getting off course. Out of love, showing them the error of their way, calling upon them to repent, to turn from their sins. 1 John 2, John said, to love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And so I'm to love the world less, as I love the people of the world more. That's what Jesus showed us. Are these things true of you? The secret of fruit bearing, as we've seen tonight, is abiding in Christ. And how do you know if you're abiding in Christ? By whether or not you're bearing fruit. By whether or not you're being pruned. Whether or not you're pruning yourself and getting rid of those things that are keeping you from being the fruitful branch He would have you to be. By whether or not you have a growing dependency on Jesus Christ and on God. By whether or not you're feeling the love of Christ and passing it on to others. If you can say yes to those things, then indeed you may be one who is abiding in the vine of Jesus Christ. Tomorrow night, as you might guess, we're going to be looking at the secret of abiding. Also from these same verses of John chapter 15, verses 1 through 17. I would encourage you to go ahead and read those passages, read those verses again, and be thinking about a branch in the vine and being a fruit bearer. It has to abide in that vine. But now what is the secret in those verses to abiding in the vine? And that's what we'll look at tomorrow night. Are you a child of God? Are you one who is in the vine of Jesus Christ? If you're a branch in the vine of Jesus Christ, have you been fruitful? Are you showing yourself to be a fruitful branch in the vine? Are you showing that you are indeed one who is abiding in the vine of Christ, content to dwell intimately with Jesus? Or are you like that little child who's not content, who fights and does all that you can to keep from having to do anything more than just absolutely essential for the Lord? Are you abiding in Christ? Do you have a personal commitment to the Lord? If you find yourself deficient in your relationship to Him, we would call upon you to bow yourself in prayer to the Lord tonight and ask His forgiveness. To allow you to be grafted in again, to restore that intimate relationship with Him once again. Maybe it's something that you feel is needful to correct in a public way. Well, if that be the case, we'd be happy to pray for you even this evening, if that would be your desire. Whatever your needs are, we can help you. Make sure you leave this place tonight firmly grafted into the vine and determined to remain there the rest of your days on this earth. Can we help you tonight? Let us know. Come and state your desires as together we're standing and singing.